I am a fan and a sucker for good music. I need a little Rick James, and that was You and I. Good music, good song. Ladies and gents, it's that type of show on this Tuesday as we bring you another epic edition of Live with Dr. D.
Have a discussion, let's talk about something. Real talk radio, ain't no funny. A church with our walls, the hottest talk show. Real talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin', music got me hoppin'. Who you represent, ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go, I'm in the zone. Can't get enough, turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Again, welcome to another edition of Live with Dr. D. Dr. D, Rook City, Dr. D, checking in with you on this Tuesday of another day, and the God has gifted us to be a part of. Normally, I'll say, Rook, what's going on? He'll say, man, I'm good. If I'm here, it's a good day. I ask him how his yesterday was. He said, man, blessed, stressed, but I'm still here. Some sad effect. But, Rook, I was listening to the last part of that song, which I truly believe, for obvious reasons, is the greatest intro music ever conceived by anyone, anywhere. And it went on about real talk. And, you know, here's some real talk for you. And it's just straight off the cuff. And no, I'm not about to rant, but just rock with me a little bit. You know, I don't think, we don't have a problem with God being in the blessing business. We've had enough experience with Him to know He's in the blessing business. We've seen Him show up not only in our life but in the life of folk around us more than enough times. There is no doubting His character or His power, His prowess, His ability. That is not where I think we have our heart. Let me go a little deeper. After a while, giving up the sinful life and deciding to live right, a consecrated life, a holy life, being righteous in God, a help to our fellow brother and sister, doing what we can, being conformed, having ourselves transformed by the renewing of this mind and stopping being conformed to this world, although it's a struggle, a test, and sometimes a lifelong journey in itself, you know what? After a while, you realize it was easier than you thought once you do it. It's only hard when you're going through it, but once you come out of it, you go, you know what? That really wasn't that hard. So it's not about doubting God. It's not about trying to line up with Him, because as the Bible teaches us, and I was still in my spirit from our prayer call this morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. No, none of us are good within ourselves. No, none of us have anything to boast about, but we're good because we're in righteousness with the Lord, right relationship, which means that we honor the contract. We do what He tells us best as we can. And then when we fall short, we admit it, we let Him fix us, and if we need to take our whooping, we take our whooping without fighting back. That makes us good. So our steps are ordered by Him, which means, Rook, that we're going to go through some valleys, some dark places. That's what David said, the 8th door I walk, the valley of the shadow of death. I should fear no evil and all that. And you have to go through some dark places to see God. That's the truth. That's the dark places just to see Him and to realize that grace and mercy follow you, all that. That's cool. That's not, you know, with the right perspective, Rook, you go along with that. Going to God being in the blessing business again. It's not so much him doing it. But I tell you, what gets you is waiting in line. That's what gets you, the waiting in line. That is because, you know, you got up, you got dressed, you made yourself presentable, presentation ready to leave your house to go, if you follow the analogy, to the store to get in line. So you find a parking spot or you walk in, you catch the bus, however you get there, you get in line, you walk through the door. Now, all that in itself requires faith and expectation just to get up and go and put yourself in a position to receive the blessing. But that waiting in line sometime is where you get it, because it's that waiting in line piece is where we deal with expectation spoiling, going bad on you, and turning to anxiety. And he tells us to be anxious for nothing, but all things pray. And I don't know, RC. I don't know. I know you have peculiar eating habits, but I'm a fan of the local chicken joint, and I used to work on, you know, both sides of the glass. I worked for the chicken joint, and I've definitely patronized the chicken joint, and both situations at the window. The one thing that I could not stand, if you wanted to see Dr. D get violent, if you wanted me to have non-spiritual thoughts, if you wanted to see me utter the word that you could not find in the Bible, whether you looked in the Greek or the Hebrew, it was toward the person that waited in the line 5-10 minutes. And while they were waiting there, they began to complain and gripe to the other people waiting in line, as if the people behind the counter was the worst people in the world because of the wait. And then when it was their turn to be serviced, they get to the window, and the cashier says, or the employee says, "Can I help you?" And the first word out of their mouth is, That makes you want to act up. Because you mean to tell me that you, again, got dressed, you made your way here. Obviously, you wanted what they were selling. You wanted what was behind the counter. You were in line long enough to complain about the service being slow, but yet did not know what you wanted. And so now the same wait that you're complaining about, you're perpetuating. And so I'm always the guy 2 people behind that person. I know what I want. I can smell it. As a matter of fact, I looked through the glass. I looked at the rack. I counted every piece of chicken on there because I wanted wings. I wanted to make sure there were wings. You're not going to talk back. You're not the big chicken either. You get what I'm saying, though. You know, it's not that I doubt that they don't have what I want. It's not that I don't doubt that it's all going to be gone before I get there. I have no doubt in my mind that the blessings are going to be dried up before it's my turn. It's the wait. When you know it's coming. I said this last Sunday morning. The worst time in a person's life is Christmas Eve. When you can look under the tree all week or how long, or however long your tree been up, if you had a tree. Maybe you didn't have a tree. You know that what's in that box is yours. You know it's what you asked for, because somehow your expectation has given you x-ray vision, and you can see through the wrapper, and you see what it is, and you can't touch it. And so you have to wait. And so some folk in this Christian journey, Doc, have been living in a perpetual Christmas Eve. I know it's mine. I know it's for me. I know what it's asked for, but I can't touch it. I got to wait for a certain time. And I just wanted to say that, Doc. I just wanted to touch and agree with someone on that today. That listen, you ain't in line by yourself. But the goal is, listen, don't play yourself. We're going to be just real talk today. Don't play yourself. Don't let the weight of the line that you're in. Because when you got in the line, you were last in the line. And although you've been waiting, there are now people behind you. There are people ahead of you, and there are people behind you. And what will happen is somebody, something will coax you out. something will tell you, you know what, you might as well, you've been waiting too long in this line, you might as well go somewhere else. And that seems logical if you forget what you're talking about, if you forget that your issue is the wait. If your only issue that's making you leave that line is the wait, then you realize if you leave the line, you're going to take your second or two to get back in your car, drive somewhere else, no matter how many stoplights you're going to hit. Get to that place, find a parking spot, walk in, and wait again. So it'd be better to just wait out the wait. Turn to your neighbor and say, wait out the wait. Now, I want to encourage somebody today into what you simply have heard and simply know. It's worth the wait. Whatever it is, IT, whatever it is worth the wait. After all, the line is moving. It is a slow process. That's real talk on the radio. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number. We got some cuts we're going to play. Also, it is Ask Rook City. You got a pastor. You pay for good therapeutic advice. You got a good counselor friends. But maybe you need a different perspective. Call in. Submit your issue or your concern to Rook City, and let's hear his perspective on it. 516-387-1299 is the number. We're gonna kick that in about 10 minutes or so. We can do that and have a good time doing it. Matter of fact, we're going to go to Detroit. The last four digits, I think I know what this is. The last four digits of your number is 6225. 6225. And now live on air at Dr. D, Rook City. Good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bishop. How you doing, my friend?
Angel Lowe, how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Hey. Yeah.
What's on your mind? It's a great morning, sir.
Well, Bishop, what's on my mind is that, I have been, really dealing with how is it that sometimes Christian we hear an encouraging word, but then sometimes when we get home, we let that word go, and I say, God, how is it that you talk to your people and then they let go of the word? And he said to me, he said, well, it's not by many. He said, there are going to be some who's going to receive you and there's going to be some who's not going to receive you. And he said, it's not because you're not doing your part. He said, it's because they have made up their mind who they're serving. He said, in this life, you cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to serve man or you're going to serve me. And I said, well, God, I don't want to serve man because man going to kill me. I'd rather serve you because I know you ain't going to kill me.
Well, you know, Jesus teaches a parable on that. I mean, because, you know, he teaches a parable on that. The sower does that part. The ground plays a part, stony ground. The fowls come and eat it before it can root, they play a part. But I'll tell you something. There is an epidemic going on in the body of Christ that's not the receiver's fault. It is and it isn't. What happened, my brother, is the last 20 years or so, folk have gotten discernment confused with prophecy. And so people are able to discern certain things, and they'll speak it as this prophecy because they really don't understand and not study the difference. And people have been told things that were going to happen, told things that they, quote-unquote, felt, but they said it as if God said it, which he didn't. And so it will wear on a person to hear what they assume to be a prophetic word, which is really just utter an encouragement. And then when it don't come to pass, you'll get to a point in life where you will get tired of hearing people tell you it's going to be okay. You will. Because it goes back to what I was saying about the waiting process. Now, it will be okay. It's going to be fine. Our end is written before our beginning, you know. But life is designed like that because we want to hear. We want to be encouraged. And that's how we develop itching ears. If what you're talking about is on the money, it's so deep. And the people are at fault because they have not submitted themselves to knowledge and learning. They have not studied. They just sat back and let somebody else tell them what the word says. They have not invested themselves in a personal relationship. And that's the fault of people. And I say people mean all of us. But there's also some folk in leadership who have taken advantage of that and have not holistically submitted themselves to the unction and the move of the Holy Spirit. That's why, I'll give you an example. But I'll give you a great example. Someone would get sick, and, you know, they'll touch a group of prayer, and the first, we're going to pray God going to remove that thing, or God going to heal you. We've not consulted the Lord. The Holy Spirit told us that. We just want to be encouraging. And so when you at the bottom of life's poop, and you reach out and say, help me, and somebody tell you, well, God's going to do this for you, and then they go, some people are so bold to say he's going to do it in 24 hours, and then it doesn't happen. What do you do with that? Where do you go with that? A lot of us don't have the capacity to go back and say, well, that report, you said this, and it didn't happen. So we keep it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is. But it never goes away. And it chips away at our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to lose hope. And the vessel, well, and we want to lose the hope in God.
Can I interject in that?
Lord, how can you let them say that to me if you didn't say it?
You can't hear me?
I didn't hear you. I heard you that time.
Oh, okay. Doc, we said that they get discouraged when it don't come to pass, but when people get those prophetic messages, Doc, they forget that it's something they got to do on their part too, Doc. It ain't always just sit and wait, and it's going to come to pass. Sometimes you got to pray. Sometimes you got to fast. Sometimes you just got to sit there and wait. You literally got to wait. And they do it, they be like, it's going to happen in 48 hours. It's going to happen in 24 hours. Well, it might happen in 24 hours if you do what you're supposed to do, which means go see God's face and look for directions.
People
don't get that. Because when they say the prophetic, they give you those messages, they don't say what you have to do. They just say this is what you're going to receive.
That's right. That's it. That's what I was going to say. I agree with you 110%, my friend. We don't give the instruction. Whenever there's a prophetic word from God, there's a commandment to go with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you brothers own it, man. That's good. I didn't know we were going there this morning, but that's all right. that's all right. You know, and here's the thing. If we speak a prophetic foretelling, God says he's going to give you this and the third, and we fail to give a requirement, then we hold accountable. Now watch this. Watch this. Sometimes the Lord will give you, or sometimes you will get a prophetic word, a foretelling for someone, and you won't hear the requirement, what they have to do to make it come to pass, do their part. I have learned that's a trust issue between that person and the Holy Spirit. And if you hear a foretelling from the Lord, you got to go back and ask the Lord, is anything else, or what should I tell him to do before you deliver it? Because Jeremiah talks about that. Because we don't want to be held accountable for misleading someone. That's how we got to that name and claim it theology. You know, name and claim it, whatever you want, to ask God for it, and he'll give it to you. Well, the process they're talking about is favor. and no, favor isn't fair. And like grace, it can't be earned. However, you have to line up for it. You know, you can't be living willy-nilly and think you're going to walk in God's favor. No. But we're so glad that mercy follows us, right? Hallelujah. Am I still on the air? Anybody hear me? I think I lost my audience.
I'm still here.
Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. My brother, I need to cut you up, man. but I was led to say that right there and then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And I thank
okay.
you. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. The best is yet to come. Can you say that with me? The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
In the name of
and
Jesus.
And I believe
my brother.
It, and I believe it. You too.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Doc. Here comes your tag team partner now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me get my sheet together now and get on the floor already. Good morning, Elder.
Well, good morning, Dr. D. How are you doing this morning?
I am well.
Amen. Good morning, Will. How are you, sweetheart? Dare not say good morning and not say hello to you.
Right. Rick, if you talk, we can't hear you.
We cannot hear you. So don't cut our heads off if we don't answer you. That's what you don't hear
me. Elder, what's on your mind?
Hey, man, what's on my mind? You know, I was just going to piggyback on something that you had just said, and you said about the prophetic word. And, again, it has to go back to you need to study and learn of God. You have to have a relationship with him so that you can hear from him, because I have received prophetic words in my life. And before I had a real relationship with God, I would just, you know, go on what they said. But then when I began to develop a relationship with God, what the prophet does is all he does is come and confirm a word that God has already given you. He'll speak it to you. And even if he doesn't speak it to you, it will agree with your spirit. And then you will seek God for that thing that he talks about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what the real topic is for today. I wasn't on right away.
No, we ain't gotten to it yet. We ain't gotten to it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, let me make sure I say that totally correctly. The one that I thought we were going to discuss, we ain't got to it yet. You know, apparently
amen.
This is necessary, and you know me personally, so you know I don't. When he move, I move. I try
that's
to
right.
stuff like that. So, bless you, Elder. Rook, Doc, if you talk, we can
amen.
Hear you. Are you there? Are you back yet?
Maybe he don't want to talk to me today.
I don't think it's you. I don't think
it's
you at all. I
think
he got some technical difficulties going in. He's mad as a dog in Georgia if he can't get in. Elder, God bless you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, amen. My question would be, what do you do when you're in a situation where your son or your daughter has slept with your best friend?
Is everybody involved, an adult?
At the time, yes. But this
they're
individual watched
okay.
the child grow up.
Yeah, no, I'm not minimizing the implication.
Oh.
I was
okay.
checking on the legality.
Okay.
You know.
Amen.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Right on there, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? Well, here's my thing. I want to say it was a game time decision. If they were both consenting adults, I could see the betrayal from the best friend, among the best friends, to the mother, for sleeping with the mother's son. But is there something to be said that because I've watched this man grow up, I know the caliber of man that he is? You know, I know what's in him. I don't know. I doubt very seriously that would give most mothers any quote unquote peace. But on the same token, maybe it'll stop some of the whole thought of just lust being there. I don't know. Are they together? Did it just happen?
No, they're not together. It happened, and they were together maybe a week or two, if that. That was it.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you, and maybe this is just me being a man. I'm sure I would feel a certain way about it, but if there was no manipulation involved, underhandedness, I'm gonna feel a certain way. I can't say I'm not gonna feel a certain way about that. Trust would have been damaged because my mind would go back to one. Have you been plotting on my baby all this time? You know.
All right. Mm-hmm.
You know, have something happened when I went around, and I'll have to really pray that thing through. But I'm also not certain it would end our friendship. If my son's grown and a consenting mm-hmm. adult. Because Elder, I'm one of those people. I look at things when we folk make decisions, folk make choices. And like I said, if there was no manipulation involved in it, that's a great Ask Rook City question. When he went dark, it couldn't get him back home. I don't know. I can't say it would definitely end our friendship either. Hold on, Mr. Elder.
Okay.
Rook, are you there?
Can you hear me, Doc?
Yes, I can hear you now. Sound like you're on a space shuttle.
Spaceship to heaven, Doc.
Amen.
Well, did you hear the question?
No, I missed the question, but I think I heard the answer.
Well, you heard my answer. Okay. Your answer may be different. Go ahead, Elder.
This is the thing. It did not, we're still friends. The trust thing, it did. We have a play. You know, it's not, you know, let me say, they're still my friends, but, you know, I know how to handle them, if I can say that. The relationship is not like it used to be. They do know that, but there were several things that had happened. And the reason why I'm asking the question is because a question was given to me. Someone called me and they asked me, they said, how do you allow or deal with this person after they have betrayed you with your son? And I almost stumbled. But I told them the reason why is because I think about the fact that I make mistakes every day. Mm-hmm. I think about the fact that God forgives me every day. I'm not worthy to be his child. But I don't deal with that. They said, well, you know what? I can do that. I understand that. But I will not. I can't. I can forgive them, but I won't deal with them anymore. Then you really haven't forgiven them, because then if you forgive them for real, you can deal with them. They can be in your space.
Okay. Well, see, I guess my point of view on that is it's okay to let certain people go.
I have learned, and boy, have I learned, that some people are just in your life for a season, and you can't determine that season. You can keep them out longer than they're supposed to be, and they can mess up a whole lot of other things that you got going on. So if it's meant for them to go, let them go. Because if it is your real friend, you wouldn't be having this discussion.
Am I being heard?
Yeah, you're hearing. I don't know if you're that. That's good. But what the question she asked me, the elder asked, that she proposed was, what do you, how do you handle it when your best friend has slept with your son?
Oh boy, I didn't hear that. Ooh, you come on.
Yes, sir.
Man,
the elder, she can't hear.
Man, she got me.
Well, now you see why I danced around for a minute, Doc. On the air, nonetheless. So when you came back on, that's what you heard me talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a grown man, right? This is a grown man, right? This is not a child. This is a grown man.
Yes, hold on. Elder, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here, man.
Okay.
He's a grown man. Yeah, I was knocked off for a second. He's a
it
grown man
too,
when it happened.
Well, see, you can't really hold him far because it's two adults and they're making adult decisions. Age ain't really nothing but a number when it comes to being in a relationship, really. I mean,
it sounds close, but when it comes to your children, you know, and then the caliber of woman, because, you know, I knew who they are. I know what kind of woman. It wasn't, hey, man, I don't want to say a whole lot, but it's not the kind of woman that I would have wanted for my son because he wasn't mature enough to have her. And she was way too mature for him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say it like that. So I can keep it.
Yeah. And that kind of goes to what I was going to chime in and say, too. I used to really believe that age is nothing but a number when it comes to relationships. I really did. But seeing some things growing up now, maturity, immature, are true enough. There are some older people that are really immature. And you got some younger people that's really mature. I get that, too. But, you know, there is some things, and maturity is one. When you got someone that's unevenly yoked, it is very difficult to have a successful, happy relationship. There's going to be some challenges there that may not have been present if the maturity levels were more evenly aligned.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I can understand that concern. And that's why I had said, Rook, that I can see how the trust would have been wounded. Because if one is more mature than the other, if the friend is more mature than the son, it's kind of hard to look at a person and say, you took advantage of my son. You know, you're more mature, you're older, you know more what you're doing, you took advantage. It's kind of hard. Although, as I said, two consistent adults, it's still kind of difficult not to look at it that way. You know, Elder, you don't call in no more with stuff like that. Okay, you can't ask. You owe for two.
I'm sorry.
All right. You owe for two. Last night you messed me up. Amen.
Well, Doc, I can't really hold her at fault, though, Doc, because I look at it as, you know, your son know what he wants. He might, you know, he could have found another woman that been more mature with him than his age, but she act more mature than he.
Let me say this. He said that she was his, I almost choked. That was his fantasy. He had always fantasized about her. Growing up as a kid, I would always tell him, son. And he would tell me how he thought about her. Well, son, that's my friend, and you cannot have a relationship with her. Y'all cannot do that. You can't do it. And I would tell her the same thing. That, you know, she knew my son liked her, and I said, you know, and she said, I'd never do that, because, you know, I know that's your son, and I know he this and this and this. She watched him go through all the transitions that he went through in his life, all these things. And yet and still, She come home one day from being incarcerated. She all puffed up, buffed up. Hey, and I'm going to say my son is fine. I got a fine son. All of them. You know, and she took advantage of that. She took advantage of that. Because she only was with him maybe a week. And things didn't work out. And then you tell the dog, my son, no, hold up. I was trying to get off, trying not to get all off into all of that.
Hey, man, well, that's probably best. That's probably best.
Praise God.
Because I feel your Agent Orange acting up, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for pulling out. Pull me back.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus. The blood.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it still works.
But you know what? You added some stuff. I want to move on. I do, but you added some stuff there that kind of changed me the connotation. Because if she had been plotting since she was younger, I don't know if she had much of a choice. Mission accomplished.
I mean, that's just,
you said. He said that was a fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a plan.
Yeah.
He wrote the vision.
And he executed
it. He made it plain that the instrument ran and could run with it. I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
He did all that. He did all that.
So, I mean, like I said, there's mutual responsibility there.
Absolutely. Now, I didn't just blame her or him. But, you know, it hurt for a second. And then they come and ask me, well, how do you feel about it? I said, what do you mean, how I feel about it? Y'all know how I feel about it. Y'all go on. I can't do nothing else but say okay. Praise God. Let's go on. Let's move on.
I don't know if we can. Praise the Lord. I don't know if we can. Well, all right. 516-387-1290. I don't even know the number. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number. If you have a question for All Rook City, you want a different perspective. We know you got a pastor. We know you have great counselors around you. You play some great therapy. But if you have a situation you want a different perspective on, call in right now here from Rook City and get his valued opinion and perspective on the situation. 516-387-1299 is the call-in number. Hey, Rook, have you paid your water bill?
No.
No, Doc, you don't want this to happen to you.
Hello?
I'm trying to reach Murphy, please.
Yeah, this is Murphy.
Okay, listen here. Are you over at Pine Street?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, I turned the water off over there yesterday. Now, I'm looking at the monitors here back here at the water company. Did somebody go back out there and turn the water back on?
Hey, no, I think you got the wrong resident, bro.
I don't have the... Didn't I just... This is Pine Street, ain't it?
I mean, yeah, but that's my street, but I mean, I pay my utilities every month.
Well, somebody didn't pay the bill, and I was ordered to come out there and turn that thing off. I turned it off yesterday morning. Now, I'm looking at it on the monitor here. Somebody's gone back out there and turned it back on. Now, I tell you what, if you can't pay your bill, what you don't have the right is to go out there and turn it back on.
Hold on, bro. I think you got the wrong residence, man. I pay my utilities every month. I never had any problems or any issues paying my bills. I got kids.
Are you Murphy?
I'm Murphy.
Okay,
but
are you at Pine Street?
Yeah, and I also pay my utilities every month.
I got the right damn address, and I got the right damn person. I come out there yesterday, I turned off the water, and I'm looking at the monitors back here at headquarters, and somebody's gone back out there and turned that water back on.
Hey,
now, let me tell you something.
Hey, calm down, bro. Let me talk to your supervisor or somebody else, man.
My supervisor's not here. What's not going to happen is I'm not going to have a situation with my supervisor thinking that I don't do my damn job, because I do my job.
You're
I come
not
out
doing
there,
your job calling
the
me, talking
water
to me
off,
crazy like some kid.
Somebody's back out there and turn the damn water back on.
Look, man, you're not doing your job calling me, disrespecting me, talking to me crazy, like I'm some damn kid, all right? Now, if you got a problem, you get a supervisor, somebody to call me like they got some sense. I pay my
utilities. You're disrespecting me by going back out there and undoing the job that I've done. If I turn the water off, you pay your bill, and then I'll come back out and turn it off.
Bills are already paid, all right? I got my receipts. I got everything I need to show that to prove to you that I pay all my utilities. I don't know who you are,
Murphy. Let me tell you something, Murphy. I'm coming back out there today. I'm turning that damn water off, and I tell you what, if any some turns it back on, it's going to be there. We're going to beat some and we're going to haul some in the jail.
If you come to my house, you going to have a pistol in your and a German Shepherd eating your if you come to my house with that. I got kids. I got a family. I got to wash clothes, take a bath, make Kool-Aid for my kids and all kind of man. I pay my bills.
Well, somebody ain't paid the bill, and damn it, I'm coming back out there to turn that water off. You hear me?
You're not coming to my house, bro. You better come here. You're not coming to my house. You better have your supervisor, the police, whatever you need. You ain't finna come out just to cut my off because I got everything I need proven I paid my
Let me tell you something. I don't check the paperwork. My paperwork says come out there, Pine Street, and turn the water off.
Okay, well, you need to do your job before you come back out here, bro. You're not finna come to my house with no trying to cut my water off and man. Who are you, man?
I tell you what I want to know is this right here. I'm on my way back out there, and I'm turning that damn water off. You understand me? I'm turning it off. I will not deny doing what my job is supposed to do.
What is your name? You tell me your name, and you tell me what time you coming out of here. That's the only two things I need to know right now from you, partner.
I don't mind giving you my name, and I don't mind telling you exactly when I'm coming out there.
Oh,
but you
okay,
can rest your
okay.
Damn sure. I'm coming out there today, and I'm turning that damn water back on. And if I catch your out there when I leave, turning it back on, you got some heads are going to roll around here. And I'm
right. Okay, name and time, please.
You got a pen and paper? You ready for it?
I don't need no pen and paper. Name and time.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's my name. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your cousin Darrell got me to prank phone call you.
Man, get off the man. Get off the man.
Sound the alarm.
Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about something. Real talk radio. You are now tuned into the hottest talk show. Live with Dr. D in case you didn't know. Grab your family and your friends, tell them no, go. Don't turn your speakers up, grab the cell phone. The hottest on the hobbit, you got the hottest topic. You think you find a better show, better show to stop it. Real talk with Dr. Savvy, boy. Real talk, radio, city. Real talk with Dr. Savvy, boy. Real talk, radio, radio, radio. Real talk.
Now, I understand that the language was a bit colorful, but I got to be honest. In the midst of a heated discussion, to use as a selling point to not have the water turned off because he got to make Kool-Aid.
The kids for Kool-Aid.
Now I got to get some Kool-Aid there.
Man,
the kids have got to have their Kool-Aid.
I'm sitting over here talking about them. Amen.
Coming out to the final moments of the show, 516-387-1299 is the call-in number. If you want to get in the next 2 or 3 minutes for Ask Rook, you can do that. That was, of course, Nephew Thomas for the Steve Harvey Morning Show. And again, I hope that the language on the thing you. I tell you this, if all them beeps and stuff offend you, I wonder who you're evangelizing to. I really do. Can't evangelize the church folks. that's neither here nor there. Rook, we're going to make line
yes,
to Elder Michelle from Detroit. Elder?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
I thought you had
you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I am here. Well,
I thought
I
you had something else
for
to
you.
Let's go.
I do. How do you feel about your 12-year-old daughter walking on the beach in a two-piece with no cover over it?
Say that again. You said your 12-year-old daughter?
Walking on the beach with a two-piece on.
Oh, no. See? No. That wouldn't go down because that's why they make the kids from the suits that's one-pieces. I mean, the kids can't buy their own clothes, so the parent got to be held at fault for that.
Absolutely. I just wanted to know because, you know, that happened.
Because, you know, then you
and
get the parents that say kids growing up too fast and they think they're grown, but when you let them be grown and that grown, you ain't really got nothing to stand on.
Absolutely, because, and that's exactly what I said. And so then, about a month or two later, the daughter told her mama that she was, I forget this term these kids be using, like she, they be tripping. But she said she was tripping. She said she was something. But in other words,
yeah.
She told her mama she was tripping. And then the mother wanted to pop her. And so she, you know, she hit the mother back.
You said she hit her mother back?
Yeah.
Let me say this.
That kid was homeless.
If
that
you chastise
family.
Your child and they hit you back, that is life telling you that your child needs an old-fashioned exorcism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to sit on the air in the proper context. It is your responsibility as a parent and as a steward under God to literally beat the hell out of them.
That's how I feel, Bishop.
Because there's hell in there. You got to get the hell out.
Yeah. The enemy has come in. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, there are some – see, we need another sister's perspective on your question, Elder, because daddy's always – daddy don't care. His son go halfway naked sometimes. Daddy wouldn't care. But my daughter, my stepdaughters, even my niece, they got to wear potato sacks, old-fashioned, itchy potato sacks, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and they best off if they shape like a broom. Anything other than a broom, that's two potato sacks.
Absolutely.
But
my
moms don't care nowadays. Mm-hmm.
They don't. My granddaughter was, her mother, she was over here for the summer, and her mom called me and said her girlfriend's mother would pick her up to take her with her girlfriend for her birthday. I said, okay, so she's getting dressed. And she coming out and said, so what you think about this? And she had on some pants, some stretch pants. Well, they weren't stretch pants, but they were some black pants. It was nice. It was nice and they was right. But she had on this shirt. Now this shirt, her belly, part of her belly was out. I said, well, baby, where you going? And she said, well, she was going. I said, well, you're not going to wear that. She said, well, my mama let me wear it the other day. I said, well, let's take a picture and send it to your mom. Let me see what she going to say. So I take the picture and I sent it to my daughter. And I said, this is what she said she ran out tonight, baby. So my daughter took my daughter calls back and says, no, she's not. I said, well, I tried to tell her that, but she didn't want to listen to grandma because she said, you let her wear that. She said, yeah, she was with me, and we was at a family function. That was just, you're not going with me. You finna cover all that up. I told her that you need to put on a jacket, a long T-shirt that's going to cover your little behind and all that up because you're going out. You know, she's 14. She was getting ready to be 16. No, she may have been 15. She may have turned 15 already. And so then at about 11:30, my brother going to work here. So I begin to pray. I'm like, sweetheart, call my daughter, where she at? So the mother who had taken her had not called us to say anything about what was going on, why they was late or whatever. She didn't bring my granddaughter home. Well, me and my daughter had already made up our minds and made a decision that she was no longer, she can't go out no more with nobody. They done messed it up. Everybody who was calling us, go come pick your granddaughter up. No, you're not. So she, my grandbaby didn't get home until almost 3 o'clock.
Wow.
And I saw the car driving down the street, pulling up. I opened my door because I knew it was them. And then the mother and her friend, now she comes and picks my granddaughter up in the car with her and 3 other little girls. But she brings my granddaughter home, her and some man. So I'm asking my grandbaby, she's getting out the car. Me and my sons are sitting at the door. We're like, who is that? Oh, that was her husband. I didn't even know she had a husband. And I don't even know why you had to talk with her husband. At this time of night, that's okay. She says, I know because I'm not going no more. I said, you know you're not, baby. You already know. You already know.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of times our kids get in trouble, like you said, Rook. I mean, like you said, Bishop, the parents nowadays, we don't raise our children how our mother raised me. Yeah, my granddaughter thinks I'm so old-fashioned sometimes. I said, well, baby, I am. But you're going to cover all that up. All that belongs to me and to Lakeisha. That's what that's wrong. All that's mine. I got control over all of that, right?
You so, bring up, I'm sorry, what finish you?
Go ahead.
You bring up another, and this, we're out of time today, but that's another show. We confuse our children because they can get on the internet and do all these things. We give them credit for being intelligent, but they don't have any wisdom, and they cannot comprehend when we make allowances for them to do certain things in certain situations, and then they can't do it in other situations.
That's right.
They don't have that capacity, you know, and so we confuse them, you know. I think a lot of times when it's okay this day and it's not okay the next. But that's a whole other show for a whole other day. Rook, we are way out of time. I got one for you. No, you know what? We're going to do it tomorrow. I'll save it for tomorrow. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. Listen to our show, Elder. Thank you so much, Brother Ando. Thanks for calling in. For all the great listeners to Live Without the D. Brooke, we're out of time, man. Do what you do.
Well, Doc, I enjoyed today's show, Doc. You can catch me and Dr. D live tomorrow with Live Without the D at 10 o'clock. Until then, everybody be safe and be blessed and have a great day.
Appreciate you. Godspeed is our prayer.